Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 104. I am Kevin, one of your hosts. I got Yanis over here, and special guest returns for back-to-back episodes. We got Anis here with us again. How are you guys?
Hey, I've been better, but it's all good.
We're going to have some interesting things to talk about today, because we're going to cover some more AFCON. Mostly AFCON. Honestly, this AFCON, I feel like I've paid more attention than in past AFCONs. And now I'm realizing what you guys said, where the AFCON is always just some crazy drama happens all the time for some reason. But unfortunately, Cameroon and Algeria are on the wrong end of the drama this time around. I'll have to touch on that. I know you guys are really excited about that.
Yeah.
Some interesting, like the bracket looks interesting though. And we'll have to talk about it.
Can I just say there's been just a few words on this AFCON overall. I think this has probably been one of my favorite AFCON. It's not my favorite, just because of, first of all, the goals. There's goals almost every game. It's goal galore. Yep. And it's quality goals, too. It's not just like a regular tap-ins of PKs. There is some PKs, of course, but there's been some very crazy, beautiful goals in this tournament. So that for sure stood out to me. And also, there's been some funny moments as well. Like there's been some goalkeeping mistakes where I'm like, AFCON has that. Only AFCON does that. But yeah, it's been overall a very, I think it's been a very, very satisfying competition. I'm very pleased with what I've seen so far. And I think the fact that there's no prem games at the same time kind of helps too, because not everybody seems to be paying attention to them or to the AFCON at the moment. So that might be why you, that might actually be a key factor. But overall, like I've been pretty satisfied. And the ref I've been pretty good as well. Like there hasn't been any like 85th minute stoppage like last time.
So the bare minimum.
Yeah. So it's been pretty consistent. And even VAR has been good too. So far, like it's been a great tournament for me.
And this, what do you think? Even though Algeria is eliminated, spoiler alert.
I'm not feeling good about this, but it's tough. It tells how like the world football is improving. Like it's selling like countries like Mauritania. Like gosh, they're good. Like it's not just like they deserved everything. Like and you see like the rankings and like all the standings. I have them in front of me, and like Cape Verde first.
Yep.
Like Equatorial Guinea, like topping the group, Angola topping the group.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's crazy. Namibia with 4 points. Like, man, that's just crazy. Like this, and not to say like Yanis mentioned, like those last minutes of every game, you kind of feel like everything can happen. Like it's crazy, honestly. Like I if you're like a football fan in general, like. I would watch every game of the AFCON, really, if you have the time and the will. But yeah, no, definitely crazy AFCON, a lot of surprises. And I don't think we're at the end here. I'm pretty sure like the knockout stage will be somehow like a lot of surprises.
You'll deliver.
I hope not too much, so we can see like some good matchups like with Senegal and Morocco maybe. But yeah, we'll see.
I want to start by talking about, I mean, because we've had some pretty disappointing teams, and we've had some teams like really come out of nowhere and really surprise us. Like you mentioned, like Cape Verde topping the group. That was, I remember when we recorded last episode, I think they had just won their first game, and we were like kind of like impressed with them, you know, like how far can this team actually go? Like, do we expect them to lose the next two? Like, and they topped the group. Like, that's honestly very impressive with 7 points too. Didn't lose a game. So I kind of want to ask you guys, what do you think is your most disappointing team for this AFCON at the moment?
I'll let Anis start, because I think I know his. We all know his answer.
No, like honestly, I don't think Algeria were disappointing. I think they were just not at the level of the others, really. And like for me, disappointing means that you were supposed to do extremely well. And then you didn't get the result that you were supposed to have. which is kind of the case of Algeria, but not that much, because when you look at the game and the quality of how they played, it's definitely not the most disappointing kind of team. But it, obviously, if you look at all the teams that have got eliminated right now, I guess Algeria would be. I guess in Tunisia and Cameroon as well are in the mix, but not too much, right? I would take the Algeria, but yeah, like I said, it's just, yeah.
He's going through it, guys.
He's going through it.
He's going through it. Because I would say we've had some surprise teams finish at the top of the groups, and we've had some surprise teams, like, you know, not qualify. But out of all the teams that didn't qualify, I feel like Algeria is the most surprising. Because I would have pegged them to finish like first or second in their group, right? Like they have the pedigree, they have the talent. We know that the group isn't too difficult. We know they there wasn't like another strong, like kind of like quote unquote juggernaut team with expectations in the group. So them finishing last in the group was quite disappointing, because I feel like, you know, Egypt, I feel like, was disappointing. Ivory Coast has been disappointing. Ghana as well, you know, like, but for some reason, yeah, they still made it through to the knockout stage. I mean, not Ghana, but Ghana, you know, Egypt is still there. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so, Ghana for a while they were still in the mix. Like honestly, if I think at some point, if like Namibia was losing and like if like there was other third like with like 2 points, Ghana could have made it, but it would have been really difficult. But yeah, they were still in the mix. You know, they're third, right? Like it's already better than last, right? But anyways.
But you know, like
you look at the group as well. Like you looked at the group as well. I think Algeria's group was supposed to be walk in the park, really.
Yeah, like, one of the weaker ones.
I mean, one of the weakest. Like you look at the other groups, like still, like Ghana, Egypt, like Cabo Verde. Obviously, they've been good in the past. Like Nigeria, Ivory Coast. Like those are great groups, and then you finish last out of this group. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's the time to talk about Algeria now, or is it? Do you have something else you want?
Let's talk about Algeria now. Let's talk about Algeria now, since we're already on it. Like, what do you think? Do you think any immediate changes after this? Because I saw they.
Oh yeah.
They didn't even have like the. I mean, Maris was coming off the bench, right? Is that just like he's at that point of his career where he can't play a full 90 minutes? Like, better to like get him off the bench? Is it kind of like a team politics thing going on? Like. Coaching wise, do you think something has to happen?
It already happened.
There was so much happening. It already happened. Like our coach left, and now they're thinking about someone else. But yeah, it was too much pressure, like from media and all that stuff. Like it was a lot of politics, even in the team. You know, I think they never got over that 2019. AFCON title that they got. Like it was still the same team, even though like this is what I was saying when we were talking on the podcast in the beginning. Like I was telling you guys that, you know, they made some changes, they brought out some new guys, some new players during the qualifications, and we saw about them. Like honestly, like he played them. Like he played the Faris Shaibi, Usamawa, and all those guys, they've been doing great during the qualification stage before the AFCON, the friendlies and all that. They got they won in Senegal in a friendly. They draw to Egypt at some point as well. And like, it was showing great stuff. Like, it wasn't bad. And coming into this AFCON, this is why we thought, okay, now it's good. Like, he did what every team that has won previously should do, which is in some new players, you know, always play your performance team, right? And you know, like France did at the World Cup, right? They won it in 2018, but the coach, instead of like keeping the same players like Germany did in 2014 and 2018, right, he tried to like mix and match everything, you know. He tried new techniques, new players, even his way of playing as well. And this is what we were waiting from Belmadi. And I think this is what Senegal's LUCC is doing as well. Like they brought new players to change the dynamic, to like always, you know, keep your team as performant as possible and not have those players that you think, hey, they want it with me, I'm gonna stick with them, and and that's it, right? You want some, you want something like, you want a competitive team, not some friend that you got on the field, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think this is what happened, and they got criticized for it, and I think it went up being really high, and I think the coach at some point, he saw his limit. We saw his limits at some point. You know, he was nervous, in the bench. And you know how it is, guys. You know, when you're playing competitive soccer and you have your coach, if he's yelling at you instructions and stuff that you need to do in the field, it's great. But when it's coming to a point where he's yelling at you or saying, oh, it's not possible, oh, crap, what's happening, blah, 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 you feel the nervousness. Like, you feel he's nervous. And, like, he's supposed to be the one who's leading you guys, right?
Yeah.
He's, like, because when you're playing, you're maybe not seeing the whole picture, but your coach is. And when you see your coach being nervous and not being able to do anything, this is what happened. Like, it went to the player. And at some point, you were looking at the games and you look at the players and they seem like they don't want to touch the ball. Like, they're afraid of touching the ball, doing a mistake because they don't want to disappoint the coach. And it's like, and obviously, if you play like this, like, and you have in front of you a team like Mauritania or Angola or Burkina Faso that have nothing to lose, and they're going to get on you. Like, they're going to walk on you like crazy. And psychologically, they were not there. Mentally, it wasn't even good. And honestly, like, the level of the game that they were displaying, and we're Algeria, right? We're not any other team. And we have a style of play, like a philosophy, like, it's like a little bit like Spain and all those countries, right? We have our players are really technical and really tactical. Like, we play on those kind of thing, right? We're not a physical team that much. We're not a defending team. We're really a team that likes having the ball, being technical with it, you know, making dribbles, making 1-2s, using the passes and everything to make our stuff. And when you don't see that out of an Algerian team, and you already, like, you saw what's happening. Like,
yeah, you feel like you're not playing to your identity or of the team. And
exactly, and that's what's giving
bad
stuff at the end. But
So what happens? Like, where do you go from here? Is it, do you think, because I feel like there's, even though players, some have high quality, does this all come down to coaching, or is it more like, you know, some players have an attitude now, or they don't want to be there?
Yeah. I think
I would say that it's a mix of a lot of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I mean, if you want to talk about it, Yanis, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was just gonna add, like, because you said, where did it go from there? I think it's a mix of coaching and politics, pretty much the whole organization, really. One thing that you notice during the games with Mahrez being kind of absent in many of those games, I think he didn't really have a solid performance in overall. I would say he's probably been one of my most disappointing players based on the expectations. You can easily tell that he's not at the level at that point, and it seems like he's kind of being forced into the lineup, maybe by him or the coach. But there's definitely been, I'm pretty sure you can kind of confirm this. Like, there's definitely some favoritism towards guys like Mahrez or even Issam Mendy, who's not what he used to be. And I honestly do feel like 2019, and you said that too, like, 2019 was the peak, and that's when Algeria was scary. I don't think anybody's scared of Algeria at this point. It's very predictable to see how you guys play. It pretty much all goes around Mahrez. If you shut down Mahrez, you pretty much shut out the team. Belaili will do his thing on the other side, but he's also very inconsistent too. So if he doesn't show up either, you pretty much shut down the entire Algeria team, and that's kind of game over at that point. So I think there's definitely a need for fresh legs. And the thing is, the fresh legs were there. The coach just didn't use them enough, or at least didn't give them a chance. So in my opinion, there's going to be a coaching, I guess, change as well. I mean, that already happened, but it changed the guard as well. Like, I think you're saying?
I think they need to get somebody that will, you know, that will prioritize developing the next generation of talent for the team and getting them playing time and building that chemistry within those players that will be there, you know? Because, yes, Mahrez is what, like 36 now, 37?
I think he's actually 34.
He's 32. He's not too old, but like,
I'm sorry.
He just left without you too early.
Actually, yeah, 32 actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Honestly, I agree with Yanis. I think what's happening here is that, you know, he kind of developed it, really. Like, he did the work, the coach, because everybody was asking for, okay, we got out of the World Cup, we got out of the AFCON last time around, and we were like, okay, now we need some fresh legs, something new, right? And he kind of did it. And he honestly played those players, like he played the new guys, but then we come to the AFCON, and then he picks Bilaili, who wasn't playing that much before, and he was there in 2019, and he keeps playing Mahrez for I don't know what reason, and he knows how worse he got throughout the years and throughout his like Saudi phase here, like, and it's not good. Like, for example, if you're a player that you're part of those fresh legs, we'll say like Amora or Shaibi, and then like your coach is playing you during the qualifying, he's letting you some time, and then you show him that you're good and you're actually delivering results, and then when you get to the AFCON and like the coach is like, okay, now it's like a big competition. Now I need to play the guys that I know, that I won with, and like I need some certainty. And he kind of like dropped the ball, and he just said, okay, no, I want my guys. And he picked up all the guys that he picked on in 2019 that were still playing, and he put them on the field. This is what happened. And I feel for those young players. Like, it's hard. You get picked by the coach, and then you think, all right, I played all the qualifying, I played well, like with my club, I'm doing great. And then comes the time, and then he's just playing the guys that played in 2019. And it's so disappointing, and yeah, we can all see it. And the journalists are seeing it, and now like they are asking questions, and like even the players are questioning it. And I would honestly be curious to see what's happening in the dressing room, like what the players are thinking and what the players are saying, right? But yeah, this is what happened. I think this time around, honestly, I was kind of more relieved than the previous one, because the previous one we won in 2019, and then in 2021 we just left at the first. Like this time around, we were left and we just got home and then got eliminated by Cameroon. But then I think this time is more okay, because you see that we were not deserving of any qualifying or anything or of any sort. So
can I ask you a question, Dennis?
Can help me. Yeah.
Realistically, do you think Belmadi should have left when you guys failed to qualify for the World Cup?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think so. I think people liked him too much to let him go. Like, there was still some, because, you know, there was also some politics around Algeria in general. Like, the people were going into the streets and all that stuff. And he was the guy that gave some kind of hope to the population over there. And, like, there's still this kind of link to him. And yeah, but that was, like, far ago. Like, in 2022, it was still fresh in the mind of everyone. But I think now with this result, I think it's a no-brainer. But I don't think at that time it was the right move. I think they were still doing great.
The reason I was asking, because, I mean, we saw how he reacted, like, 25 minutes into the game. You saw how he was acting on the sideline, and how kind of... That was a bit odd to me. It seems a bit too early to react like, in that way. And I think I wonder if you've seen the comments from the Mauritanian coach after the game. I don't know what the question was.
Yeah, that was crazy. He said
the Algerians have the plastic a psychological weakness, and we kind of capitated it.
Capitalized?
Yeah, capitalized on that. Yeah, they had a psychological weakness, and they capitalized on it.
Holy shit.
Yo, hey, yeah.
Yeah, no, they used it. They used it, man.
But they definitely used it.
I'm kind of like, I'm kind of really curious to see, I'm actually curious to see where Mauritania can go now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, they used it. There was a mental pressure on them to deliver. And Mara's like before that Mauritania game, he said like, "Hey, Norris, we'll get this through. I'm gonna score next match and everything." He was so confident and was like, "Okay, show us.
Talking a lot.
Show us what you're saying, right?" And then, yeah, he was just talking a lot, and it wasn't good. Like, you feel mm-hmm. that it was just like he felt the need to say it because people are getting pressure and everything, and he was trying to relieve some kind of pressure, but he kind of did the opposite. Anyways, yeah, but I'm looking forward for this Mauritania team. Honestly, like they've played well, like this Angola Mauritania game as well. Like the highlights mm-hmm. are crazy, like. And I think they deserve to be in it. But yeah, it was,
I don't know why you don't want to support Morocco.
Oh yeah, no, I'm supporting
it. Support Morocco. Support Morocco. You'll be fine.
I guess it's kind of our enemies. Like, it's kind of supporting USA when you're a Canadian. Like, it's just like, okay, yeah.
I don't know if it's the same thing.
So I want to touch on a couple of the other teams that have had impressive group stages. In Group A, I feel like that's the one that we need to talk about, because Ivory Coast finishing third, Equatorial Guinea finishing first, Nigeria second. I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I'm impressed. I mean, we thought Nigeria was out of it, right? Ivory Coast would top the group. Ivory Coast finishes third, Nigeria second, Equatorial Guinea out of nowhere kind of finishes first. I thought that was very impressive. They scored 9 goals too. I think they scored the most goals in all of the group stage. Yeah. That was impressive to me.
Yeah, they've definitely showed up. They are probably my favorite. I guess my surprising team in the tournament for sure. Now going forward to the knockout rounds, it's a bit of a different story. But I do think that they can kind of pull through and at least get to the semis. If they can get to the semis, it'd be probably one of the best achievements for the country, in my opinion, or at least from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's not impossible. It's not impossible.
Their first matchup is against Guinea, and they can defeat Guinea. They can beat them. I feel like I wouldn't be surprised at all. And then after that, they play the winner of Egypt and Cap Verde Congo. Yes. Egypt and Congo. And I feel like they have a really good shot of beating either of those teams. Like, Egypt without Salah is a completely different team, right? Mm-hmm. And if they do that, they're in the semis, you know? So I feel like that's just as easy of a route as you can get.
When you look at the table, it's looking good for Nigeria. And I think, and I have to, I have to say sorry to all the Nigerians to not believe in their team. I think because we knew the quality of the players, like that was a no brainer. But it was just like the chemistry and all, and how they're gonna get up together, and also the defense, because it's not like well known player as much as it is in the offense.
But I feel like they gave us every reason not to believe in them, though.
Oh yeah, there was every reason to not believe in them. Like they did like a really bad campaign before that. They were not showing some good results before the AFCON, and also like after that, you know, their defense wasn't that great like on paper, and they really showed up. And I think honestly, like we usually talk about this, right? Like usually when what's happening when a winner win a competition is that he kind of up his game throughout the games, and like throughout the tournament he's really, you know, the team is improving in general. And I feel that for Nigeria, like they start off with a draw with Equatorial Guinea, and then won again Ivory Coast, won again after that the other game, and now against Cameroon, which is a tough team to beat in general. I think they'll have a lot of confidence, and if they manage to get to the semis, it's going to be mentally they're going to be at the top.
Is this my time to speak about Cameroon now, or should I just give my apologies to Nigerians already?
No, Anis had he went through enough with Algeria. I think now I want to hear about Cameroon, because I feel like you guys ended up finishing second in the group, which was encouraging, right? Like, I feel like with how the first couple games went, we didn't really know if this was going to happen. Because there was I think there was like a point, 5 minutes in time where Cameroon was not qualifying. And then you guys end up managing finishing second. But then you match up with Nigeria, which was the battle that we all were kind of low-key hoping to happen because of the rivalry.
I said that I wanted Nigeria. And I got Nigeria. And let me just first of all start by apologizing to other Nigerian fans out there because I talked a lot of trash. It wasn't unlike me. You know me, I don't really talk a lot. But I will say, this game, I spoke to a lot of people. I DM'd a lot of people telling them, just beware, be ready. You guys are getting out. It won't be pretty. We're taking you and your Jollof out of the competition, whatever. And it didn't work out that way. And I got a lot of DM back. I don't know if you saw my story yesterday. I wasn't lying. I got cooked.
Did you actually? How many Nigerian friends do you have?
I have a bunch. But yeah, no, I was talking too much. I should have just keep it quiet. The reality is, like, we got to the knockout round in the most dramatic fashion. It didn't really reflect the tournament that we really had, because if we look at all three games, we didn't really look good in most of them. Our goal scoring chances weren't that great. I think we were leaking a lot of goals defensively. To be honest with you, whether it was Onana or Ondua, I don't think it makes much of a difference. They're pretty good goalkeepers, but it's not really what their issue was. I think our chance creation was the main problem. We weren't creating enough chances in front of goal. It seems that we were really only dangerous on set pieces, and it didn't really work out for us against a very solid defense like Nigeria. Who, by the way, I think, kind of like Anna said, I think they grew in the tournament as they went. And especially defensively, Calvin Bassey, for me, was one of my... He's probably one of my favorite defenders of the tournament. Stood out to me a lot. He's been a key figure for their team. I think Ola Aina as well, as a right back and a left back. Solid player. Probably one of Nigeria's best players. So I think they, like you said, they're in the good form right now. Angola's the next matchup. I relatively think they should get through Angola and get to the semis. I'd be surprised if they didn't at this point. But Cameroon was not. I mean, I think the 3-2 win against Gambia didn't really show a true face. We didn't have a good tournament overall. I mean, again, even at Jerry, we didn't score a goal. We didn't even take a shot on target. It was very underwhelming of a performance from us. There's a lot of work to be done on our end as well. I don't know if Rigobert Song stays as a coach. I don't know how many more dual citizens are out there that want to come join Cameroon. But, I mean, hey, you're welcome to join. The door's open. And I don't even know if Eto's going to stay there, because Eto has his issues as well. He's probably going to stay because it's Eto, and it's hard to, I guess, move around. But, yeah, we have our issues on our own as well.
What about how far... I know this is going to kind of come as a shock, but do you give Angola any chance against Nigeria? Because I actually think, they've impressed me a lot. I mean, this last game against Namibia, they got a red card early in the game.
Yes.
And they scored first with a man down. And then Namibia also got a red card. I feel there's so many red cards this game. This tournament, sorry. And they still win 3-0.
Keep in mind, though, it is Namibia. No, as much as...
I know.
Yeah, you gotta keep that in mind.
But let's also not forget, they topped the group. So
they did. A group that Algeria should have topped, but we won't go back into this.
Yep. But we're just giving praise to Mauritania and saying how, impressive they've been. And Angola's in the same group, and they finished top. They didn't lose a game.
We gotta give them the credit, but I'm looking at all the games that they've played. And can we be honest and say that Nigeria is probably the strongest team they're going to play?
I mean, to date, definitely.
Yeah, and so I guess we'll really see what happens when they
play. It'll be a test.
Even stronger, the strongest team they have met so far. Mm-hmm. That's probably the only difference in terms of what I expect. That's why I said Nigeria is pretty... I'm pretty confident on Nigeria, because at least they were somewhat more tested than Angola, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And they've responded to almost every test in a positive manner. So I expect them to continue in that fashion.
Okay. How much percent chance would you give to Angola potentially winning? Like 25, 20?
I'll give him 30.
30? Okay. Ennis, what do you think?
I think Nigeria should.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Was your question about like winning the whole AFCON or just
No. Just beating Nigeria. Like what kind of percent chance would you give them?
Oh, sorry. No, I think Nigeria is gonna win. 90% chance. 90% they're gonna chance. Win.
Okay.
I don't think even Angola. It's kind of those teams. Yeah, good surprise. It was good. Great seeing you. But I think that's it. Like, I think there is some quality. I think that's it. Right. Like we've seen enough. I think I think now from now on, Angola is gonna be hard to beat. But I think the quality of Nigeria showed, and with all the chemistry, with how even mentally they are in a great position right now. And I think it's a mental game against Angola. And if you're at the right spot, I don't think you're going to lose it. I think they're going to make it. Their defense is good, the midfield as well. And I think they have some good players up front. So, Nigeria 90%.
Right. My prediction is 2-1 Angola. Can't wait to record next episode.
Yeah, really?
No, I mean Nigeria is most likely gonna win, but I feel like I'm giving them more of a shot than you guys are. So I guess we'll see. So looking forward to the knockout stages, I just want to touch on a couple of the other matchups. I feel like Mali and Burkina Faso. I feel like we're all kind of really taking Mali to win that, right? Take care of business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big one I want to talk about is Senegal and Côte d'Ivoire, Ooh. Ivory Coast. Like, what do you guys think there?
This is a tricky one. For two reasons. One, Ivory Coast cannot afford to get embarrassed at home again.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to show up. So I don't. The question now is becomes like, okay, you sacked the coach, fine. I don't know who the next coach is. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's an interim somewhere. But you have to at least have a key performance, a good performance at home. And you don't even have to win, but you have to show a better fit than what you showed in the against Equatorial Guinea. I think Senegal knowing that, will play more defensively, or at least let them come to them and kind of hit them on the counter. I still have to beg Senegal to win it, but I just think that Ivory Coast has to at least like battle, at least show like they've give them a reason to actually qualify. Because honestly, mm-hmm. Ivory Coast shouldn't even be in this tournament at this point. Like, you can't get beat 4-0 and then somehow become one of the best third and get a place in a knockout round. So I know I'm expecting Ivory Coast to show up and play better than they did in the last game, but I still expect Senegal to win.
Okay, that's fair.
Oh, if Ivory Coast have any sense of pride, they have to deliver something. Like Anna said, nothing. We don't expect them to win, but if they can make a great game, show that they can be at the level of Senegal, it's already great. I think it will all come to how mentally are they gonna come to that game. I think it's either, okay, we lost 4-0. We're at the bottom. We're not a great team, and you can feel that in the players, and they're scared to do something wrong or whatever. Or it's like, okay, we were almost out, and like this is a redemption for us, and we should embrace it and make this game great. And in that case, maybe Ivory Coast can be really tough to play. And I think, I don't know if you guys saw it, but the Moroccan coach, he said they won against Zambia for that specific reason, to make sure that Ivory Coast can be matched up with Senegal and eventually eliminate Senegal before Morocco has to.
Interesting.
And that's spoke to me, and if any Ivory Coast players are listening to him, like, it's a boost of energy. Like, right now, it's like people, even other teams, are believing that you can do something against Senegal. So we'll see.
I guess we'll see. What about Egypt and Congo? Do you, even without Salah, do we still favor Egypt to go through?
Yeah.
I think
would you be shocked?
Even if Egypt gets bounced, I wouldn't be shocked.
Interesting. Okay.
This is a good Congo team. I still expect Egypt to win, though. But
yeah,
if they lose, it wouldn't surprise me, because this is not the same team without Salah, obviously. They did kind of play okay without him. I wouldn't say they've been the most convincing, but mm-hmm. I think they can pull off a result against Congo. Like, it's a good Congo team, but I think they're about even now. So it could go either way.
Yeah. All right, no, it's going to be really tough. Like, Egypt, AFCON is going to be all draw, I believe.
they're going to draw the whole time.
And yeah, no, I think they're going to draw again. It's going to be like a penalty shootout, some kind of deal. Like that. Yeah, I think it's going to be like that.
The drama. If you guys have to pick one team to be a surprise team to make the final four, who's your pick?
I would pick Guinea.
Mali, I feel like is not a. I mean,
not a surprise.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I'd be surprised because they have to go through like Senegal and Ivory Coast. So I feel like that's gonna be a tough matchup.
Yeah.
My surprise pick is Cap Verde.
Oh, that's a nice one. I like it, actually.
I mean, they play Mauritania, then they'd have to play probably Morocco. So I feel like that's not an easy route, obviously. But
yeah, if they do make that, yeah.
I've liked what I've seen. And I on Angola, one win away from making the final four. So,
but they're not going to win it.
I'm telling you guys. I can't wait to watch that game now. February 2nd.
Yeah, I think it's still possible, but it's just like...
Anything can happen in one game.
I agree, but I just think, like, you know how we spoke about how there's been a lot of upsets in this tournament, and like it's been a lot of surprises. I do agree, but I think at this point, like, there's gotta be some logic. Logic is gonna be respected at some point.
One red card at the start of the game, everything changes. You know,
anything can happen. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't be like rash and make a bad decision and get a red early. That changes the whole game. But I just think, like. I mean, as good as Angola has been, they haven't played anybody that's like Nigeria. So,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, yeah. It's going to be tough.
And who would be your guys' pick for, you know, maybe the final or your favorite to win it all? After seeing, you know, all these teams playing the group stages.
I saw Senegal winning it.
Who's your final? Like Senegal, Morocco, Senegal, Nigeria.
I'm leaning Nigeria at this point. Honestly, I'm leaning Senegal, Nigeria.
I believe. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Yeah. No. I think that if it's gonna be like a. It's fair to say that I can see Nigeria and Morocco in the semifinal, and I think whoever wins this matchup. Is gonna win it.
You would take both teams over Senegal?
It's just the back to back thing. I'm not sure, man. I don't.
The back to back is hard to do.
It's hard to do, man. Like we'll see, man.
If they end up being in the final,
yeah, no, for sure. But I don't know. I understand what Yanis is saying. It's kind of true. But in my head, it's like, man, it's a back-to-back, man. It's hard to make it. We'll see. But I still believe it's going to be either Nigeria or Morocco.
Senegal, I feel like, would have the hardest route to the final as well. Because, you know, they play Ivory Coast in the first matchup. Then they play Mali, another team that's very strong. And then they probably match up against, like, Egypt or Equatorial Guinea. Like, those are... I mean, that's probably an easier matchup than their first two, you know? So...
Yes.
Yeah,
they're going to be battle tested, that's for sure, if they make it that far. And I feel like teams that are battle tested usually have higher resilience, and they know how to play those tough games. So, like, I can see a team like Morocco maybe having an easier time making the final and then maybe getting surprised, but I think Morocco's still my pick. I think like a Morocco Senegal final would be really fun to watch. I feel like it would deliver after everything, like after the whole AFCON that we got with, you know, the drama and the surprises, you know, some fun runs from teams that we didn't expect to do well, but then still seeing like a final of two teams that we knew would make it there. I feel like would really cemented it as a really quality entertainment, if anything. And I feel like it's good. We love seeing a run for an underdog, but I feel like it's also fun to see, you know, the good teams play well and like that high quality football, you know?
Yeah. I mean, definitely Senegal to me should get to the final. I know, like you said, they'll be battle tested, so it should be a good round for them. The Nigeria Morocco thing, first of all, it's going to be a great semifinal if it happens, which I hope it happens.
It won't happen. But it's going to be Angola and Morocco, but yeah.
Hypothetically. Of course. Hypothetically. But I'm just saying, this Nigerian team has been also battle-tested a few times. And I would say that if Senegal is the best team in this tournament currently, I would say Nigeria is a close second and Morocco is a close third. So I think one of those three is winning it. But to me, Senegal is still ahead.
Watch the final be Angola versus like Equatorial Guinea,
and then that would be crazy.
And then we get like a Morocco Senegal third like bronze medal game. Yeah, you know?
The bronze is the actual final.
Man. Yeah, maybe. Guess we'll see. I don't want to drag it on for too much longer, but there's a couple things that are not AFCON related that I kind of want to at least put out there because I feel like it's pretty big news. Klopp leaving Liverpool and Xavi leaving Barca. I feel like those things are like worth mentioning. What were your reactions, first of all, when you heard the news for both of these? Because they kind of happened like back to back almost. The Klopp one really caught me off guard because it kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. I mean, Liverpool's doing well. They have a strong chance to honestly like compete for the league title this year. Like they could win the Europa League. After a down year last year, like I think that was most surprising to me.
Honestly, I think they were both surprising. I'd probably say that the club one maybe more so than the Xavi one, but I agree with you in the sense that based on how the year has been, it kind of caught everybody off guard. But I couldn't see how like how hard it was for them if the last year and how demanding it was for him to think about maybe considering it this year. So I was still shocked because I mean even now it's like it's hard to believe that club isn't gonna coach Liverpool next season. But I'm curious to see where he goes from there. I know he said he was gonna take a year off or whatever, or he wasn't gonna coach in England anymore, which is I think an interesting thing to say. But yeah, I mean, I was very shocked on that one. The Xavi one shocks a bit less, even though it's still shocking because
they haven't really been in form.
Yeah, but Barca hasn't been doing so good, so I think it makes sense. But then again, we talked about the pressure before the pod. Like the pressure to coach Barca is mentally draining, and you can't really stay there for too long. So I think it was almost like a right decision for him to leave at the end of the season and just get some a new face in there.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys. Do you think they want to leave, leaving a good impression of them, kind of thing, like a kind of a Zinedine Zidane kind of thing, where they want to leave at the best level possible,
at the peak.
Or is it because, not maybe at the peak for Xavi, for example, but still like leaving some like a good impression of them, not leaving on a bad note or whatever, right? It feels like that.
I think for Klopp, has shown enough that he's shown enough to me that he's probably one of the greatest managers in Liverpool history. So I don't think he can really change his image at this point more than he already has. Like he has too much of an impact on Liverpool that, I mean, how many Champions League finals did he get? Two, three? He won one. So I mean, yeah, I wouldn't think that his legacy will be tarnished any at this point, regardless of whether they win the league this year or not. I still think that Klopp will be recognized as one of the greatest managers to close Liverpool, if not one of the, if not the greatest, probably not the greatest, but one of the greatest. Xavi is a bit different because yes, he won one league, but Barca didn't do really much in the Champions League, and it's tough because I mean, obviously Messi leaves, it's still a transition for them. So I don't think Xavi's legacy will be tarnished because of that. I mean, he did win something, which is good, but I also don't think that his legacy will be tarnished. So I don't think he's leaving at the top, but I also don't think that people will just say that he was a horrible manager for Barca. Like, he was a good manager. He did a lot of good things. He brought in a lot of
them,
players.
He brought them to like their most success, I feel like, since like the end of the Messi era. Like, yeah, that was like the best Barca team that I've seen since Messi left. They've had their ups and downs, definitely, but I feel like they reached that ceiling again.
Right, exactly. But I mean, for Barca standards, I guess they still want to win trophies. And like, as long as you don't win a Champions League with Barca, you're not really like, it's tough for you to get recognized as one of the greatest coaches, I guess you could say that. But no, I don't think he wanted to leave at the top. I doubt it. I think he'll be happy with what he did. He'll be disappointed with how it ended, because obviously you don't want to leave kind of in that way. But it's not. I don't think he wanted to leave at the top, to say for certain.
I mean, what do you think they can do for this season? Like, do you think it's? Well, I mean, the league is kind of out of their hands now, right? Like, they're not winning the league.
Yeah, they're not winning the league. Secure Champions League. Do that first.
I mean, they should. But honestly, it's tighter than I expected. I don't know how Girona is top of the league right now, to be honest.
Girona is a problem. That could be an issue for them, because...
I mean, they have Atletico behind them and Bilbao. Is it even still Bilbao? I don't know if it's Athletic Club.
Atletico.
Yeah, just look it up. It's Bilbao at fourth.
It's going to be tight. But they're not having like a terrible year.
Yeah, but definitely, I mean, they're not having a terrible year. It's definitely slowed. I mean, they're still third. But like you said, the league is out of reach. Champions League is the only thing that they have to play for at this point. And I think the fact that they are not even competing for the league is probably what leaves a sour taste in the supporters' mouth, and that's why they kind of went in out of there. I mean, the results haven't been good. They got bounced of the Copa del Rey as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. There really isn't much to play for at this point.
Did you guys hear what he said? Like, he said, but as a Barca fan, I don't think I deserve to be here anymore. And did you guys hear that?
I saw he was like, maybe now that I said I'm going to leave, everybody can like get off my back because they know I won't be here next year. It kind of just really felt that he was like really crumbling under all the pressure, and him as a Barca legend, all right, like he wants the best for the club, right? So I think he was trying just to kind of like make amends with the fans and be like, listen, I know I'm not doing good enough and I want to be better and I want the best for this club, but it's a tough situation, right? Because you want to do well, and sometimes you try to force it too much, and if it's not happening, sometimes you just got to make a move. And I think that's what he came to terms with. Like, he just didn't want to deal with that anymore, I guess. Too much pressure.
Coaching Barca is probably one of the, I think, in terms of like the highest pressured like coaching jobs, and when it comes to football, I think Madrid and Barca for sure.
United. Recycle through managers like it's our day job.
Yeah, damn, touche. But that's really, those two are really the biggest one, just because of how the legacy of the clubs and whatnot. But yeah, coaching Barca is not easy. And like, Xavi doesn't have also the most experience when it comes to coaching like bigger clubs. I know he coached in Qatar, but that's a different level, obviously. Qatar is not the same as Barcelona. So it's hard. I guess he wasn't really expecting the amount of pressure that he showed, even though I guess he would know because he's been around Barca for how many years already, like as a player and stuff. But it kind of goes just to show you that, like, yeah, I mean, coaches have lives too, man. They're human beings at the end of the day, and like, pressure can sometimes like be too much to the point where you want to leave.
Yep. Who do you think replaces him? We'll end on that note.
Great question. Just him or Klopp as well? Because Klopp is pretty easy.
Klopp said he doesn't want to coach for the next year, I think.
No, but I mean, who takes Liverpool over after him?
Oh, I mean, I think the clear answer is Xavi Alonso. I feel like the stars are aligning.
Yeah.
He's having an insane season at Bayer Leverkusen. He's getting, like, I feel like he's developed so many high-quality players, too. I'm very impressed with his job there, and I feel like that's just, like, the easy next step for him. Imagine he wins the league with Leverkusen and then goes to Liverpool.
I think that would be probably the best-case scenario. I mean, obviously, Xavi Alonso is the only answer, really, for Liverpool at this point.
What he's done with Florian Wirtz, like, honestly, that kid is insane. He's, like, 20 years old, and he looks like a baller.
No question. I mean, he's Germany's future and present, really.
Yep.
All the players that Leverkusen look good now because of him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They look good.
They're top of the league. They haven't lost a game yet.
I don't think they have, no.
No, they're under 15 wins, four draws.
Yeah.
Bayern's right on their butt, but still.
And you know how hard it is to win when you're not Bayern Munich. Like, it's
exactly.
Or Dortmund.
I mean, Dortmund, a little bit not the same anymore, but very impressive.
Catching up. I don't know who replaces Xavi, though. That's my thing. I'm not exactly sure who can do the job. I have an idea, but I'm not even sure if it'll work. I was thinking of Lionel Scaloni, the coach from Argentina, the national team.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, thinking out of the box a little bit. Because I don't see... I mean, it's probably going to be a coach in Spain. But, like, if you want to think outside the box... Kind of like Tata Martino type, Marcelo Bielsa type signing, you probably go for him. I'm guessing that he'll leave Argentina after the Copa America, so that's why I'd say that.
Who are the coaches that are free right now? Like, there's Mourinho.
Oh my God, Mourinho at Barca. Imagine.
He's not going there. There's not that many, like, decent options, really. Like, Pochettino's taken. Enrique's already at PSG. And he's already did the Barca thing, so he's not going to do it again. I don't really see who else. Maybe the Sporting Lisbon coach. Because he was mentioned before. I think it's Ruben Amorim or something like that. Sporting Lisbon is doing pretty good in Portugal right now. So maybe he would do it. I don't think Klopp will coach Barca, at least not for now. So, because he says he needs a year. So
yeah, he said he needs a year, but he said he'll never go back to England. So, know who Barca want? If they really want to make history, they should hire Frank Lampard because they'll get relegated.
Stop! They really want something. Stop it! I don't think you'll see a lot of English managers going to Spain anytime soon after what Gary Neville did.
Probably not. No.
I think there's Julen Lopetegui. Lopetegui, the guy that... Yeah, but I think he's free right now. I'm not mistaken.
I mean, Sevilla's not doing too great. I don't know. He doesn't seem like the Barca type. Plus, he's coach Madrid, too.
Yeah, no. Yeah, forget it.
Yeah, all to right. me, really, yeah, I don't know Scaloni is an option. I don't really see... There's not that many quality coaches like free agents anymore.
I feel like at the end of the season, we'll see a lot more coaches become available. And like teams that underperform, their coaches will end up having to, probably leave and whatnot. There's always like a little coaching carousel that happens. But I feel like right now we have a lot of big names that are kind of leaving their clubs, whether they're quality or not. Like Mourinho, Klopp, Xavi, like these are kind of big names that we'll see available. And it's always good to see like new, like other... coaches get opportunities at these big clubs and make that jump.
It'll be interesting to see what happens this summer. I think there's going to be a lot of movement in the summer, more so than January for sure.
Yep, definitely. All right, on that note, I think we wrap it up. Episode 104 in the books. I am really, honestly, I'm so excited to watch Angola now because I talked about them so much that I'm kind of going to be rooting for them hard now. just to have that. But
if they win, you gotta get a jersey. If they win,
we'll see. If they win it all, I'll consider it.
Yeah.
Thanks everybody for listening. If you made it this far, we really appreciate it. We're kind of surprised you did, but really appreciate it. Make sure you follow us on our socials, forward_pressing, forward press pod, so we're notified every time the episodes go live. And thanks for Anis for joining us for back-to-back episodes, hopefully in the future as well. If we do another AFCON episode, I feel like we gotta run it back. But
maybe one last one.
Yeah, one last one to talk about the final
and
everything.
But for sure, we got to talk about the Euros. Maybe we'll be added to the Euros.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. That one's going to be exciting.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.